Happy New Year, everybody, and thank you for joining us this evening.
Welcome to Outreach Radio, an enthusiastic and thought-provoking live radio program discussing everyday situations such as lifestyle, awareness, substance abuse, empowerment, domestic violence, mental health, parenting, weight management, and more. Join Denise Brown, Danielle Pierre, and Denise Ballester every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And now, here's your hosts.
Happy New Year, everybody. I guess I got a little over-anxious there, didn't I? I just wanted to jump in and start talking right away. Forgot we had an intro to do.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, listen, I'm Denise Brown, and I'm here with Danielle Pierre. Hey, Danielle.
Hello.
We're back.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, we are. It's been a while.
Gosh, it has been a year.
2015 already.
Oh, I know. Can you even believe it? Listen,
no.
I just want to just get a couple of things done here real quick. And I just want to let our listeners know that this is a live call-in show, so if you have any questions or any comments, give us a call, and that number is 619-768-7287. And if you ever want to get in touch with us, you can do that through our website at outreachradioshow.com.
So we made some changes. Yeah, so now we have somewhat of the same topic. As you may or may not know, Denise and I own Speakers Bureau, and we have some absolutely fabulous speakers, and they speak on domestic violence, human trafficking, mental health, just a variety of topics. We've even added motivational and inspirational now. So what we're doing, each of those speakers has their own topic that they discuss, and we're doing the same thing here. And what we're doing now is we're bringing in our speakers to expert speakers to talk with our listeners. You know, give us some insight, and then you can ask questions, and, you know, it works really good. That way, if you have a question, you can just tune right in.
Ask the expert.
Ask it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ask the expert. That's what we should have named it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about a topic that, you know what, for me, it's really a tough, tough topic, teen violence. You hear about it all the time. You hear about the bullying, and you hear about just the violence that goes on with our teenagers. And we have an expert that's going to be coming on talking to us today. But, you know, how many teenagers do you have living living by you? You know, your grandkids or your, I know your children are older. They're not teenagers anymore. And neither is my son.
Yeah.
But your grandkids, you have teenage grandkids, right?
I do. I have two other teenagers, actually another that's going to be a teenager soon, and several more coming. I have a ton of grandchildren. I have 12 grandchildren. So eventually they're all going to make it to the teen years. But I do have a 15-year-old granddaughter.
Yeah, I mean, is that not scary? I mean, in this day and age, for me, it's extremely scary because you hear about all this stuff. The teenagers that are taking their lives because they're not popular enough, or somebody is, like, you know, on social media and they're just putting them down, and these teenagers are taking their own lives. It's like, I cannot wait to get Susie on to tell us and to talk to us about, you know, what can we do as parents or as a grandparent like yourself. It's like, what can we do to nip this in the bud before something really tragic happens with our kids? You know, I'm really excited to be talking to her.
I am too, and I totally agree. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of parents out there that don't know. First of all, they don't recognize the signs when they see them. Secondly, they may have some questions on, how do I address this? You know, how do you just walk into that conversation with your teen? So, and just preventative measures, you know, maybe what you can do. So Fibula will be able to address all of that. And I'm so glad to be back, Denise. This is kind of
I know, I am too.
So it's
really going to be a great year, and, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I think with the radio show, we're going to be doing a lot of good stuff. And for our listeners out there, I mean, this is a cause, we're a solution-based radio show. So we want to be able to have solutions for any kind of questions that you guys ask or anything that you guys feel like you want to know about. Send us an email, you know, give us a call, and, you know, you can call us right now if you want to. Let us know what your concerns are and what you think that we should be talking about or what you would like to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, actually, I think we do have a caller on the line. Let me see here. My screen went down for a second. We do. So let me see who this is. Maybe they, I'm not sure if they want to speak or not, but we'll find out.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Outreach Radio. Hello, 424.
Oh, wow.
Okay, maybe not. Yeah.
Maybe not.
We're overexcited. Anyway.
It's really kind of funny because, you know, people, you don't need to be shy because we're just, you know, ask your questions. You don't have to identify yourself. You don't have to say your name. You can just ask the question. If you have a comment, just, you know, just ask, just say. It's all good. We're all friends here. What's that?
So, Denise, I looked up some statistics just going into this, and then we'll break for a quick commercial and bring our guest on, Susie. And according to the Center for Disease Prevention and Control, I believe it was 1 in 3. This is how bad it is, and this is why we titled this show Teen Dating Violence Epidemic. 1 in 3 teenagers reports abuse of some sort in their relationships.
God, is that scary? That's so frightening.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being like that when I was a teenager. I really don't. I mean, Nicole and I, we would run around the neighborhood and go in and out of everybody's home. And I don't know. We just did. It just didn't seem as prevalent as it is nowadays. You hear about something all the time. 1 in 3, that's scary. That's frightening.
Yeah, so let's see how we can turn that around maybe as parents and as a community and get, you know, have these kids. You know, it's easy to say this as a mother or a grandmother, too. Oh, well, just focus on your studies. Don't worry about boys or don't worry about girls, you know, as I would say to my son.
Hey, easier said than
done.
Focus
on your studies, you know, and you wish they'd say, oh, yeah, you know what, that's great, Mom, or that's great, Nanny, or whatever. I'll go ahead and plug away at my studies and I won't worry about boys and girls, but that's not realistic.
No, I don't think so. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's
not
really
a
not.
Teenager.
So,
to make it a little easier maybe for them.
Yeah.
On the social media stuff. Because I think, you know, I was watching something on TV and it was, what was it? It was about the social media and how people, I think it was a girl that was actually doing sexting, and she was on the news, and she had no idea how dangerous and how bad it could get for her, and she was bullied beyond belief. She says, I didn't know what to do, and now she's speaking out against sexting, against bullying, because she was bullied so badly, and, you know, they even moved. Her family even ended up moving to a different area.
Oh my goodness.
It got so bad. So
we're in a different age. When you and I
we can refer back
to when we were teenagers, but, you know, it's completely different. I mean, we didn't have pagers, much less cell phones. Now everything's at their fingertips. So there's
I have a cell phone. I had a cell phone 20 years ago.
I don't think
I had a cell phone.
I don't think I got my first cell phone until like the 90s, mid-90s. Yeah, by then I was like, how old was I, 30? Something like that? Yeah.
And now kids are getting cell phones at like 10 years old. What do you do with cell phone at the age of 10?
Yeah, I'm laughing, but I actually don't think it's funny. I think it's ridiculous. That's why I laughed. But having said that, let's go ahead and cut to a commercial real quick, and we can start asking Susie all these questions. I'm sure she can gracefully answer for us. So we will be right back with our guest in a few minutes.
Who better to inform, educate, and motivate our families, students, school staff, and the community than the experts? The Elite Speakers Bureau, Inc. was formed to do just that. Our speakers are experts and professionals with vast knowledge who bring awareness to many issues, including bullying, abuse, violent crimes, stalking, and mental health, just to name a few. Our team of experts include renowned authors, advocates, therapists, celebrities, and more. If you would like to book one of our acclaimed speakers for your next event, or for more information, visit www.theelitespeakersbureau.com or call 949-544-1410. That number again is 949-544-1410.
Welcome back to Outreach Radio. And again, our call-in number is 619-768-7287. And now we have an amazing guest this evening. Her name is Susie Cole. And I have the pleasure of meeting Susie and speaking with Susie. Well, I met her before we actually spoke at this past event in October at Joint Base Lewis McChord. I met Susie up in Washington when I was speaking up in Washington in Snohomish County. I think I said that right. I hope I didn't butcher it. Susie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year. Did I just totally butcher the name of that city?
Snohomish.
Snohomish.
What is it?
There you go. Snohomish.
Yes.
I was speaking up there at a shelter, and that's when I first met Susie. And Susie, since then, you have become such an expert in teen violence. And we were just talking, Danielle and I, about, God, what can parents do? Or we were just talking about how horrific it is in general, the teen dating violence and everything that is going on with these teenagers today. And one of our things is, because I'm a mom, Danielle's a mom, we're wondering, what can a parent do to help their child as a teenager when they're going through something like being bullied? What, I know there's probably a lot of steps before that, but you want to just give us a little insight into that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I actually subscribe to the idea of prevention. And I have a metaphor that I use that tends to really signify what prevention is at its core for me. So if we were all standing outside of the banks of a river that was rushing by and we knew, I don't know, a couple hundred feet downstream, we knew there was a giant waterfall that was really high, tons of crashing rocks at the bottom, and then all of a sudden we started seeing little baby carriages floating in the river with babies in them, and we knew they were going to go downstream and hit that waterfall. What's the first thing all of us would be doing? We would be jumping into that river. That's right. We'd be jumping in, and we'd be trying to grab as many of these little baby carriages as we could. But there's only so many of us. And what happens when the baby carriages keep coming? Invariably, we're going to miss a couple just by virtue of the sheer number of carriages that we're seeing going down the river and the sheer lack of numbers that maybe we would have standing on the banks. So what it would entail is somebody stopping and going, wait a minute, where are the carriages getting into the river in the first place? So it would take a handful of people going up the river, figuring out where the babies are getting in and stopping them from ever making it to the river in the first place.
Great analogy.
I love that. I love that analogy. So what can we do?
I was just
so from
say,
a model of prevention.
Where does that begin? Go ahead. Sorry.
No worries. From a model of prevention, it's about making sure that parents, aunts, uncles, any trusted, concerned adult in a teen or a preteen, preferably preteen's life, is educated on the concept of what teen dating violence is, what it looks like, signs and symptoms, and then fostering a really good model of a relationship and what good, healthy standards for relationships are, so that when the preteen is finally dating, i.e. standing at the banks of that river and deciding whether or not they're going to jump in, they have some education, some resources, some standards, and an expectation of what they think a healthy relationship should look like. And they may never actually end up in the river uncontrolled, heading toward that waterfall, because they will recognize that certain behaviors aren't acceptable and they won't tolerate them.
You want to tell us a little bit about what they can look for? What is a healthy relationship? What's an unhealthy relationship?
Yes, I can definitely do that. So there is a power and control wheel that was actually created by the Domestic Violence Intervention Project in Duluth, Minnesota, and it's had many iterations over the years. And anybody can get on Google and Google teen dating violence power and control wheel. And basically what that talks about is all of the things that a potential dating violence perpetrator does in a dating violence relationship. And then comparing that to the teen healthy relationship wheel. So if we're looking at signs and symptoms, if we're past the prevention piece of it and we've got a kiddo that's talking about certain things or is acting a certain way, these are some of the things you can look for. A perpetrator of teen dating violence may be using intimidation, purposely scaring their intimate partner with threats of getting them in trouble or getting them in trouble with other people. They can use physical violence. They can use violating privacy by going through somebody's locker, their purse, or their private belongings in their bedroom. They can grab their cell phones. I know that cell phones are a huge piece of social media and dating violence and bullying, and those technological pieces end up being very powerful tools for both the victim of teen dating violence and the perpetrator. There's issues of threats. There's using relationship privilege. So if you've got an intimate partner that is actually spending the time to say, I'm the authoritative one in this relationship, therefore you have to do what I tell you, or somebody that's limiting one of the people in the relationship's power, saying, you know, you need to do this exactly the way that I want it, which is really enforcing the idea that somebody is in control. Or there can be humiliation, right, the isolation from their friends and family, jobs, sports, academic activities. And then via, again, that cell phone or social media, harassing, text messages, Facebook profiles, anything on Twitter, any type of social media can actually be a tool or a sign that something's wrong.
You know, and I'm going to intervene here real quick, if you don't mind. But also, social media is a way to stalk your significant other and then question and bully and things of that nature. So that's also become an issue, something that we didn't have to address. Well, I don't know about you, Susie. Maybe you're a little younger than Denise and I. But I know I didn't. These weren't things that needed to be addressed when we were kids. So this is a whole new generation of teen dating violence. But I also wanted to address some of the stigmas, like, is this a mimic behavior? For instance, the abuser, is he or she learning that from their surroundings? Is that, or is that just a big generalization? And you know, how can we prevent that as well?
So again, that can be a generalization. So for the listeners, I am a mental health care therapist, and I work with kids as young as 4 to elder adults, 80s, 90s, depending on what their symptoms or what they're presenting with for therapy. So I can offer that in my experience. I have worked with perpetrators of teen dating violence and domestic violence who were witness to this type of relationship in their own upbringing, in their own family of origin. So it can be a learned behavior, but I also have instances where I've worked with clients who don't have this in their family, and it is a symptom of anxiety and fear. And in order to lessen those fears and that anxiety about the direction that their life is taking, the out-of-control feelings that they're experiencing, the perpetrator of these types of acts can rely on intimidation or isolation or humiliation, all of these pieces, to kind of manage that out-of-control feeling. So it can stem from anxiety, depression, any number of mental health care diagnoses. So, yes, it's learned. No, it doesn't have to be. There's many, many, many circumstances and family of origin issues or relationship experience that can maybe trigger or impact the severity or if this even occurs.
You know what? I absolutely agree with you on that, because we never had domestic violence in our household, and Nicole was a victim of domestic violence. You know, when you talk about the older people, you know, the older adults as opposed to the younger kids. But yet, he had it, her husband had it in his family. So, you know, you don't necessarily have to have it in your family. So that's really interesting. And so you work with a lot of young kids as well then, so teens, with the mental side of the violent side. So, I mean, do they totally deny anything that's happening? Because I know in domestic violence, in my arena with adults, and what you were saying, you know, the the perpetrators. I mean, they're cowards, really. And, you know, they need to beat up on somebody that's less, you know, physical, at least strong, or whatever they need to do, or whatever the cause may be that may be doing this. But do you find that these kids are just, God, I don't even know what I want to say. Are they just being more likely being bullied from their peers, or is it stemming from what you're seeing? Is it stemming from the family? Is it stemming from the peers? Is it stemming from school? Is it social media that's more prominent than anything else?
It can be any one of those things and all of those things. You can use the example of family of origin issues. You can use the example of media and movies and what kids are actually seeing and viewing as relationship examples, whether it's hip-hop videos or celebrities and their behaviors. There's been many, many, many recorded, publicized, widely publicized issues with celebrities that have encountered domestic violence. And if it becomes this model that you see maybe at home, or you see it in the media, or you see it in movies, and then you have these gender roles reinforced, then, you know, I've worked with a lot of teens that go, what is the problem? I don't see the issue. I've always done this. And there's just a lack of education and awareness, which, again, goes back to the model of prevention that I subscribe to, which is, if I can educate anyone about what this looks like, what it's supposed to be, what choices a teenager has or a preteen has in order to prevent them from getting to this place where we need to react to a threat or react to harm or react to danger, then that's all the better, because we don't want to get to the point where we're seeing a child losing weight, withdrawing, having headaches, unexplained stomach aches, anxiety, fearfulness, you know, taking away all of the things that they used to love to do, making excuses, and getting to that point where you're like, wow, this is not my son or daughter that I've always seen. What is going on? I want to get it before we get to that point where it's like, oh, gosh, you know what? My kid's eventually going to date. We know what's coming. So
Right. Let's
prepare for it.
What about the denial?
Denial is a huge piece. 86%, according to loveisrespect.org, 86% of parents don't believe that teen dating violence is an issue.
It's avoided. The topic's avoided. As if it's
and I think that...
That's fair. Understand.
I think
Is it avoided because the parents themselves aren't knowledgeable about it, or is it avoided... is it avoided because the teens get so nasty and they don't want to deal with a kid that's being nasty with it? Or
I think it can be, again, any and all of those things. I think that all of these issues are viewed in isolation. How many times have we sat down and seen the news and heard that a teenager has gone and shot, stabbed their partner or their ex-girlfriend or boyfriend, and then that goes by the wayside because media moves as fast as it does, and then a couple months, weeks later, another teenager in another city has, you know, killed their ex-girlfriend or boyfriend by blah, blah, blah. These incidents are being viewed as, oh, this never happens, and they're viewed in isolation. But when you collect all the names of these teenagers that have lost their lives and you connect the dots with who and how and what, this is a cohesive piece and picture of teen dating violence. Washington State actually has a fatality review board, and every year they look at adult domestic violence fatalities, and they look at the relationship on a continuum, and they go to point out where interventions could have happened to stop that relationship from ending in death. And they have found that over a third of domestic violence adult-related fatalities, those relationships started in high school.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
that's
so it's been going on.
Yeah, if you're looking at that, then as a caregiver, a clinician, a therapist, a concerned parent, you know, brother, sister, friend, aunt, uncle, you go, okay, if a third of kids that are dying as adults because of domestic violence had that relationship start in high school, where are we supposed to stop those carriages from getting in the river? That says junior high, preteen.
Right. You know, something very significant when you said that the media is moving very quickly. So we'll hear an incident, and we'll be mortified and very emotional at the time, and then it passes into something else, and you forget about it because it's not in your face. And then here we go again a couple of weeks later, and it's the same thing. And then we're wondering, why does this continue? Well, we forget about it. We're not
And we're getting desensitized to it.
Right, exactly. And that's true, too, desensitized to it. And the truth of the matter is we have teenage kids dying due to domestic violence. Dying. And we don't, you know, you get desensitized and you get emotional maybe for the moment and you move on. But then if it hits home, you wonder what the heck went wrong. Where was I? Why didn't I see this coming? You know, and this is the reason that we have this show and why we have speakers like you, Susie, who go out into the public. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. Watch what your kids are doing. You know, and
yes, definitely connect the dots.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like we were saying earlier, when I asked, is it a mimic behavior? What I was really asking you was, can this happen to a family who thinks that had great role models? The parents are great role models. And
yes,
their daughter, they assume, is going to, you know, mimic their healthy relationship and ends up in a domestic violence relationship.
One of the big pieces that I find really important to emphasize, because this is definitely a giant topic, is that nobody sits down and says, you know what, when I grow up and I start dating, I'm going to find somebody that beats the tar out of me. That sounds fantastic. I'm going to find somebody that demoralizes me and ruins my self-esteem and makes me just a shell of what I used to be. The trouble is that perpetrators of teen dating violence, whether intentional or not, that they do the perpetration, are charming. On a first date, I stand up in front of high school students all the time. Hey, you went on a first date, and the date you sit down with at dinner says to you, God, you're ugly. You're a dumb cow. Want to do a second date?
Would we
be going on a second date?
Exactly.
Most of the high school students stare at me. They laugh. They're like, whatever, I would never do that. Oh, my gosh, you don't know what you're talking about. And I said, absolutely. But what if they're funny, and they're cute, and they're charming, and they say all the right things, and you get that butterfly feeling in your stomach, and then you're emotionally involved, and then you love them, and you know how great the relationship was in the beginning, and these little things start to happen, but you still have hope that they can be the way it was when the relationship first started.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're in a dating violence relationship with the hope that it can be as beautiful as it was when you first got together, and this incrementally happens, and then you're emotionally involved, and you want to be with that person, and you have that hope. And then if that relationship progresses out of high school, or if somebody gets pregnant or something like that happens, you're so deeply invested with the hope that it can be better that before you know it, you may be staring a fatality down the end of your nose, or you may be seeking counseling or therapy or talking to the police or other interventionists to try and figure out what the heck happened.
You know, Susie, when you talk about the hope, there's three things that I learn from victims of domestic violence when I travel around and I speak, and because I always go to the shelters. And there's three things: hope, shame, and fear. The hope that things are going to get better the way they used to be, the shame of not wanting anybody to know, not a best friend, not a family member, nobody, and then the fear of the unknown. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Especially if they have children, you know? So,
absolutely.
So here we stand, and I just go, wow, you know, the cycle continues and continues and continues. Susie, in a couple of words or in a sentence, tell us, you know, as the listeners out there, what would be, like, the most important thing you think that someone can do if they know that a teenager is in a violent relationship? What's, like, the number one thing?
The number one thing is to believe them. The last thing that a teenager needs is to find a trusted adult and disclose this and be told that they're making it up, or it couldn't possibly be that bad, or this is just impossible and you're making a mountain out of a molehill. So the number one thing is to believe them. And if you don't know the resources in your area, get on Google. You can Google anything. And there's statewide, countywide, local town mental health care clinics, all kinds of places that can provide you with the education and resources. Loveisrespect.org is a great place to get an education and help your teenager or the teenager that's coming to you find resources, find solutions, get help, get educated, and stop that baby carriage from getting to the waterfall.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Susie,
you know,
Denise, before we end,
I'm sorry, we do have a caller on the line. I'm going to see if they have a question.
Sure.
I don't want to leave them out. And, you know, we were having some difficulty before, so I'm not sure if they'll be able to hear us. But let's give it a shot. And,
okay, perfect.
Caller, do you have a question? Hello, 424. You're on the air. Do you have a question? Hello? Okay. I don't know if it's on our end, if we're having technical difficulty or if they're just shy. So, anyway, I wanted to give them a chance. You've been great,
Susie.
Susie, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us this evening. And, you know, it just is always a pleasure to talk to you. And I know that a half hour is really not long enough. But we're definitely going to have you back on again, and then we'll talk about the mental health side of all of this, you know, which you were amazing at Joint Base with McCord as well, you know.
Thank you.
I had the pleasure of hearing you on both of them, the teen violence and the mental health, and you were just awesome. So I really appreciate it, and thank you all our listeners tonight, and remember to check our website, www.outreachradioshow.com for upcoming guest information, and have a great evening. Good night.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And you're welcome. And also, Susie does national speaking, just FYI. So if you are interested in booking her for an event for your teens, your high school, your college, well, it actually does domestic violence as well and teen dating violence, you can find her at our website as well. And that is theelitespeakersbureau.com. So either way, outreachradioshow.com, elitespeakersbureau.com. Thanks, ladies.
Thank
you for listening. Please join us again next Tuesday night for another great show. For more information about upcoming shows, visit us at www.outreachradioshow.com.